This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It is 10 minutes to 8. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
And the other morning, we spoke to James So about from Port Phillip Council about the Cultural Diversity Week events being held locally. However, off air, we talked about what the point of having celebrations when we don't tackle the topic of racism and racial discrimination head on was all about.
Yeah, so it's not all about loving Thai food or finding a Colombian accent sexy. It's something deeply ingrained in our society, and we're going to do a little bit of myth busting and break down a few parts on how to be the best ally to our culturally diverse communities. Now, a great website that I found about Harmony Day and helping out is itstopswithme.humanrights.gov.au, and they have a comprehensive list of ways to be, well, not to be racist.
Yeah, which I think is a very good and very important conversation we need to be having. I mean, a top tip, everyone has, like you said, it's completely ingrained in society and culture that we have here. You know, racism is a part of that. So if for some, it takes a lot of conscious thought to make sure you're not being racist and how you're focusing on it. But a good way to start is really simple. Don't ever start a sentence with, "I'm not racist, but."
Yeah, if you have a but, probably racist.
Yeah, you are. It can be a knee-jerk reaction that everyone does, thinking they have to say that. Oh, no. But you know what? Take a step back. Take a moment. Count to three. If three's not enough, count to five. If five's not enough, count to 10. Think about what a person's saying to you and don't say, "I'm not racist, but."
And then go and stereotype an entire community.
Exactly. Yeah, you probably are, Blanche. You are.
We had a really great conversation with Deanne Ty the other week about the song Ni Hao, mm-hmm. and how, you know, racism is ingrained in Australian society, and that people will look at someone who looks any sort of Asian and will say things like "ni hao," and that's what the whole song is about that they wrote.
Such a brilliant track.
Yeah. So some of the things that I found was on this website, it says anti-racism is an active process. It's unlike the passive stance of non-racism. Therefore, anti-racism work requires consistent, committed, and targeted action and attention. And that's from the Creative Equality Toolkit. So I guess it involves actively attempting to combat racist policies, practices, cultures, and ideas. It's more than being not racist.
Yeah. So, and it's understanding what that actually means. Like, I think a really good thing you just brought up there, Rach, is racist policies. Mm. You know, there are things that, like we're saying, that exist within spaces and places where you automatically have a predisposed disposition or assumption about a person because of their race or cultural diversity. And you have to actively work to not be that way and actively work to think about not thinking that way because, you know, that is, you know, it is racism.
We often talk about like different intersectionalities of our community, and race is a huge one. I feel like as a general culture of Australians, we're getting better at acknowledging people with disabilities and that sort of thing. But racism it's kind of one of those things that's still kind of under the surface because everyone's too scared to address it head on.
We all are getting better at calling it out, but I think what's hard is how much it's just always there.
Yeah.
You know, like it's there, you know, it's a part of what you see when you're younger. It's a part of what we grew up when you think about TV's, well, when I was growing up, 70s, 80s, 90s, Rach was a little bit later. When you think about the depictions of individuals and cultures that we saw on TV, mm-hmm. especially in a lot of comedies and things like that, you know, that's changed a lot now, and we're seeing a lot more, you know, broader diversity and intersectionality in what we do and how. But that narrative existed so much and it does travel through.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Dean, do you know what it means to be an ally?
I feel like I do. Like, I think about what it means to be an ally. But when we're talking about something like cultural diversity and battling racism, we're talking about a breadth of different individuals and ideas. So what does it mean to be an ally?
Well, it is someone who actively recognises and addresses the racial inequality and commits to taking action against it. It's not about charity or generosity. It's about being aware of inequalities and calling it out and standing shoulder to shoulder with those who are working for equality and justice.
I think a really big thing, I've just seen this on our list and it's so important, is to always think about your own privilege in relation to someone else and what that means in regards to things. That's a good thing for every part of your lives, whether it be, you know, whether we're talking about racism, sexism, you know, gender inequality or anything more. You know, thinking about the own privilege that you have and taking a step back in regard to that is so important.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about Harmony Day and how we can help combat racism in Australia a little bit later, but you are listening to Joy 94.9 and it's 5 minutes to eight.
Joy.
You're with Rach and Dean. It is 17 minutes to nine on your Thursday, the 21st of March, which is also known as Harmony Day, which is also known as International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Now, Cal, we were talking about this just before 8 o'clock because we had a wonderful chat on Tuesday with someone from Port Phillip Council about the cultural diversity celebrations they're having this week. But what we fail to talk about so often is racism and tackling racism. And I think you're a great person because you're very open-minded to join into this conversation.
So we've gotten some great messages. Sam has messaged in saying, thank you so much for having the conversation about anti-racism and being an ally. Well, it's not done yet, Sam. As an African-Australian gay man in his 30s, I've seen and experienced a lot of racism within our queer communities and society. There's a lot of work still to be done for equity, but conversations like the ones you had helped and means a lot.
Thank you so much. And now someone else has said, what was the website that I spoke about? The website is itstopswithme.humanrights.gov.au, and they've got a whole bunch of stuff on how to be a ally, what happens if you are a bystander that experiences someone else being racist, and how you can call them out appropriately, and also like key terms around racism and racial discrimination. So one of the really important things as well in all of the education that I was reading through on this website is respecting First Nations sovereignty. So we do it at the beginning of our show every day. We play an acknowledgement of country, but that doesn't stop us from maybe not being allies enough to that part of our community. So there's some awesome tips in there. So in June of 2020, It Stops With Me group got advice from Yorta Yorta writer, academic and public health practitioner Summer Mae Finlay on what allyship with the First Nations community looks like. And there are 7 points that I highly suggest everyone goes and has a read over. It's so simple and it gives examples. Like the first one says, if you witness racism, say something. And the example is challenge racist social media posts via the comments. Mm. So it just tells you how you can actively help in these spaces. And I think it is so important for everyone, regardless of your race or cultural background, to educate yourself in how to be a good ally to everyone else.
One of the things I really love that's here in this is remember to not be prepared to not be a part of the conversation. And I think that's a really important one. You know, realizing that it's not just about listening, but removing yourself from it. I sometimes think when we're talking about racism, everyone wants to make sure they're showing that they're not racist in regards to a scenario. But listening and stepping back and just letting people have their say is a really important part of it.
One of the pieces of advice, I was trying to make pieces and bits one word. It says, talk to your friends and family. And this one resonates with me. I have a grandfather who is the epitome of a racist Australian. He just thinks that white people do everything better and it is disgusting. So this bit of advice says, having conversations about race or racism may not always always feel comfortable, particularly with family and friends, but shying away can mean that important opportunities are missed because these conversations are a chance to change people's thinking. And that's as simple as it is. So being part of being an ally means having those conversations and not expecting people who experience the negative effects of racism be the ones to do so. Mm. So if it's uncomfortable for me as his actual granddaughter, how uncomfortable must it be for someone who's actually experiencing racism from someone like my grandfather? So I think it's really important that we do step up into a real allyship.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
Cal, at Thorn Harbour, you work with a lot of different organisations and deal with intersectionality in regard to that and what that means, especially when we're dealing with the health of our communities, you know, and thinking about how we're communicating to a broad range of people and meeting the needs of many different people in our communities. What are some tips that you could give us or our listeners to think about when you're engaging with the more cultural diverse people in our communities?
Well, I think just kind of going back a step, if you're going to challenge a conversation, think about how you want to do that. Because I think one of the things that I have seen people do is kind of go, you know, someone says something that is racist and they kind of point and they're like, you're racist. That's not going to change anybody's minds because that's going to get them, that's going to trigger their defense mechanism and they're going to put up a thing. And in like the case of your grandfather, that may just reinforce, he's just going to double down.
Double down, yeah.
And instead, I think the challenge is there, if he said that, you know, only white people do all the work, you know, thinking of examples or when you see an example of somebody who is from, who is Vietnamese or is First Nations or is, you know, Latinx, you know, saying, hey, that person's not white and they seem like they've pretty massive contribution to our community. How do you feel about that one? And even circling back to that, to kind of debunk those myths, I think is more powerful than pointing at someone and sort of saying, you're a racist, because that's not going to change minds. As far as supporting people that are from different backgrounds, I think part of it is, you know, just acknowledging that you may slip up as well, or that there may be something that is triggering or for somebody, or is that doesn't sit well with them because of the cultural background for they're from. And I guess be able to hold the space for that without kind of allowing that immediate flood of shame, because I think that's a natural response. None of us really want to go, oh, I want to wear, you know, I've earned my racist badge. Nobody really wants that moment. Maybe some peripheral people in the society will put that to one side, but not really much in my circle. And I think be willing to not, like, challenge yourself to not immediately flood with shame and a need to justify or defend or whatever, but kind of go, oh, okay, that was not my intention. Acknowledge, you know, that. And look to course correct. Yeah. Because I think that's the thing is that a lot of people are really scared of doing the wrong thing. And I mean, we hear this even with our LGBTIQ communities, anything that's stigma, discrimination, things like that. People don't necessarily go out the door in the day and say, I really want to, you know, persecute this group.
Yeah. Well, some people do, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know. But I think the vast majority of us, that's not the case. And so I think part of it is just sort of like checking that. Mm. And yeah, just be willing to have that conversation to course correct.
Yeah, there is something I think I want to add into that as well, is just remember that it's not up to everyone else to do the heavy lifting, and think about that in regards to yourself. It can be a lot for people to constantly have to point out or remind you that possibly the arena you're stepping into with language or the way in which you're thinking can be something that has racist undertones to it. And it's not up to the cultural diverse individuals to always bring that to your attention. You have to do that work yourself. We know in our communities how hard it can be to constantly have to be the one to have to verbalize or indicate or show. And that can be really draining. So create a space where you're thinking about it first so that they don't have to do that work for you.
And if they're in that's a really great scenario. There's things that seem line ball where you're like, is that racist or not? Especially if you're observing it and there's somebody in the room who maybe is from that community and whatnot, they may not feel like they're in a position of power to speak up or say something. And if you're not 100% sure, it might be worth kind of quietly going aside and said, hey, they said this or that happened this way. I'm not 100% sure, but was that a problem for you? Mm. So that they feel comfortable, don't feel put on the spot necessarily in front of a larger group, and have that conversation so that you can fix it for the future. Because, yeah, I think it is really challenging when you put it on just the individual, but it does need to be in consultation with the community as well. Don't 100%. Make decisions for them.
100%.
I was trying to find in my notes, there was something about standing shoulder to shoulder as an ally, but I haven't copied it across from the internet onto my piece of paper. But I so highly recommend this website. It stops with me. humanrights.gov.au, and there are things about how you can stand beside someone who may be experiencing racism as well. So so much great information. And it's not like, we love celebrating cultural diversity. Totally. Celebrations are fun.
Yeah. Mm.
They are great. It's a great way to immerse ourselves in different cultures. It is also a great way to get educated.
Yeah.
But also we need to take that underlying step of just calling out racism.
Oh, 100%. And realize, and also going, celebrating cultural diversity is great, but racism exists and it's important for us to acknowledge that. Now, we are playing a game as we barrel towards the end of the show. It's a girl group mashup, and we're finally getting some people messaging in with the entire list.
Oh.
Have we got a trifecta of everyone in the studio getting it correct?
Oh,
I wonder.
Oh, my gosh. We've worked it out, and
but
someone else.
Both of you to yes, do it together.
Yeah, we did.
Us together. However, Jai has messaged in, OMG, you have got it. Nailed it.
Okay, everyone. Well, this is the mashup that we're looking for.
Everyone can see we're together.
I've realised as well, when I do a mashup, like I do short and sharp, quick.
Uh-huh.
And if people are in their cars right now screaming in their cars, that's okay. Now, the two of you finally coordinated the full list together. But
yes.
It took two heads coming together. What things should people be thinking of as we barrel towards our announcement of the mashup?
You need to say what you said about Beyonce.
Oh, okay. So Destiny's Child is to Beyonce as one of those girls' groups is to Diana Ross.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's absolutely what you need correct. To know. And if you were wondering, that's for number four.
Yeah, so here's the mashup again.
Everyone can see we're together.
I love the way in which people have also messaged in with, I think it's this song or a question mark. Is it this artist? If you think you know the answer, you've only got a few more minutes left. Message in to 0427 569 949.
Or email onair@joy.org.au.
Let's have one last listen.
Everyone can see we're together.
Dean, I love this so much. It is 6 minutes to 9. You're on Joy Breakfast. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.